The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Well, we're back. We've been away for a couple of weeks. A couple of personal things have just gotten in the way of us doing this podcast, but we're glad to be back for Kerr's Hire with the Cat Attack Podcast. Tom King with you from K-Rock Football and inactive Geelong AFLW star Renee Gehring. Now, if you haven't been following along, Renee's inactive for a reason, because she's pregnant and she's about to hit a milestone in the pregnancy. Hello, Renee.
Hey, Kingy, I sure am. The big 30 weeks on Saturday. So, I feel like that's when you say you're 30 weeks or 30 something, you're well and truly almost there. So, looking forward to ticking that off and continuing on in the journey.
Has it dragged?
Well, I was thinking the other day, it is a long time that you're pregnant for. It hasn't dragged in the way that I've been very, very lucky in how I've been feeling. The season's probably felt a bit longer, not being able to play, that's for sure. Yep. Yeah.
Still running, though?
Still running, cutting the laps. Certainly not fast, but I'm still enjoying getting out of there.
At what speed are you? What sort of Ks are you ticking over in terms of, length and stuff like that?
Still trying to get about 5Ks in a session. If I do some faster stuff, there's a bit of walking in there as well. But if it's continuous, it's a nice easy pace for the 5. But I think that'll reduce as I get a bit bigger, and I'm sure I'm told the back and the hips will get sore. So when that happens, I'll pull the reins in a little bit.
All right, enough of the Renee Gehring pregnancy update. It's time to talk a bit of footy, and we come back at a joyous time. Actually, I reckon the last podcast we did was off back of the Eagles win, and this one we do off the back of the Richmond win. Second biggest win in the club's history. The second quarter was the second best quarter ever in terms of score produced by the Cats. It must be a good feeling around the club. But, I suppose for all the hard work that's gone into to actually have a performance where I reckon from half time, I know, the margin wasn't massive, but there was that sense of that Geelong isn't losing this one. It didn't have to be a goal late in the game to win it.
It was certainly a really positive feel coming in at half time, but it was back to the process again. We weren't, one of the things in this going into this game particularly was process and making sure that we're setting up the ground and making sure that we're putting the foot in the pedal and continuing and getting that consistency that we lost in those couple of weeks prior. So, after halftime, it was certainly we need to come out and put it on. We didn't get the score on the board, but put it to Richmond that they weren't going to get back in the game. And the girls certainly, they got a fair few inside 50s, but they held them off really well.
Yeah, I think it was the second lowest score you'd kept in an opposition to the Brisbane game. I think in season number one up north was, the lowest score you've ever kept a team to. But I think it was Meg McDonald that said, as much as we didn't put the score on the board in the second half, we were just so pleased that we were able to, once again, make life tough for an opposition.
Definitely. And we want to just maintain that intensity. Didn't want to drop away in the third and let them back in it or let them get a couple of goals. So well and truly did that. And that was the aim. So.
Yep. And it was one of those, for once, and it seems like everything's bounced against Geelong for 4 years in the AFLW. That second quarter, balls were bouncing and favouring Geelong, like a couple in the goal square, which just fell at the feet of players to go, I can just toe poke this through, basically. It was a nice feeling to be on the other end of what other clubs have probably done to Geelong over the journey.
Oh, definitely. No, it is nice when things finally do bounce your way. And I was busy getting my rotations done as we got one goal and then we've got another one and then another one. So that was certainly a good feeling and, good spirits amongst the group.
So 2-6 now. And two very winnable games to finish. St Kilda, who will only come off a six-day turnaround after a game in the heat on Sunday and a narrow win over a Gold Coast. And then you finish with GWS. And Dan Lowther didn't hide last week when he said, I fully expect to win three more games of footy with three rounds to play. And you've ticked off the first box. And I suppose the momentum now you hope you can take out of a performance like that continues into St Kilda, and who are not going to be pushovers based on what the footy they've played in the last couple of weeks.
No, definitely not. I think, again, it won't be the result that we're focused on necessarily going in, but the process and the consistency and putting out there what we did on the weekend and the pressure that, particularly in that first half, but all throughout the game. And then obviously making the most of inside 50s. They were pretty even really with Richmond, but made the most of it when it came our way, which was great. And yes, St Kilda have put some really good games together of late, and we know what it feels like to be wanting to get those wins on the board, and they'll certainly come out firing, I'm sure.
Yeah. Was there a bit of disappointment? We obviously haven't spoken for 3 weeks, but was there some, disappointment against, the Gold Coast with the performance there, where it was, first and last quarters were really good, but especially the second, I think it was the second that came back a bit on the backside, and then the Bulldogs, you probably just, didn't take the opportunities. You were able to hold them when they kicked with the wind, and then weren't able to make the most of it yourselves.
Definitely. I think in both of those games we would say that we weren't consistent enough across the four quarters. So that was, I think, a big shift into this game against Richmond on the weekend, that we were pleased that we maintained, even though it wasn't necessarily always on the scoreboard. But the pressure maintained, what we were trying to set up the ground, the way we were trying to set up the ground was solid all game. And then that's obviously going to help lead you get to those results.
What about Maddie McMahon? Does she give you hope that, after three children, you can come back after one child and still have an impact?
Oh, look, I watch Maddie McMahon, I watch Kate Darby, and they're both playing, and Kate's having a breakout season for herself off the back of having Ella, and Maddie McMahon is, as ever, killing it in the back line and doing what she does. And, she has busy days during the week when you talk to her and hear about her family and what it's like and balancing study herself. She's going to be a teacher and she's doing uni as well as balancing all of that. So, they're both very motivating for myself and I'm sure the girls that don't have all of that to balance as well.
Yeah. The setup ruck-wise with Liv getting a chop out from Kate, that worked on the weekend, but the problem is now is whether Liv Barber is going to be right for Saturday. Have you had an update on whether, I'm guessing it was concussion, and if that was the case, the protocol will rule her out anyway.
Yeah, I haven't heard an update on Barb. She's been at training and amongst the group, so I think it'll come down to selection and see how she is closer to the game. I don't know exactly as yet, but I think certainly she came into that role and played really strongly. She took some great grabs. She got around the ground, created contests. She put on some really good blocks for some of our mids to get out as well, and then obviously Kate coming in and out from the forward line as well. So, look, it seemed, they both did a great job on the weekend, and I know Liv's been presenting herself at VFLW level trying to show what she's continuing to build on and to bring them to the team. But, it'll be competitive come selection time, I'm sure.
Talking about the VFLW, aren't they flying at the moment? Kept Melbourne goalless.
Yeah. They sure are. I didn't get there on the weekend, unfortunately, but caught up with Flinny and I drove to the game on the weekend together, and she had played and it was good to review and hear how they had it, both the AFLW girls and those that have been through the VFLW going, and Mel in a new position. Obviously I've got a little interest in her based on her netball background and a bit of a connection to her kicking forward goals in the forward line. Certainly turned some heads, I think, which was great to see.
It'd be interesting to see how they treat Mel Bragg in terms of, like, Geelong obviously looking at her and going, oh, gee, hang on, what have we got here? And is there an AFLW future for her? But how is she treated? Is because she's playing some VFLW, does she just become anybody's to pick up as a draftee? Or because she's come from netball, is only just playing VFLW this year? I'm not interested in how she's treated in terms of, well, can we take her as a other sport signing, which would be a great pickup, and then it's outside the list of 30, I believe. So it doesn't cost you anything in terms of a draft pick or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard the ins and outs of the drafting this year and going into next season, what it's going to look like. I think, again, I know that our club definitely look at our VFLW really strongly in developing players, and we see that off the back of last year with three of the VFLW girls getting a contract. So, I think they'll certainly be watching her and others really closely throughout the year.
And I suspect Essendon and Hawthorn as expansion clubs, and Hawthorn got to see her up close a couple of weeks ago, are probably thinking, oh, hang on. Yeah, can we cherry pick this one off the Cats potentially? And that's going to happen, I suspect. I suspect Geelong's VFL teams, you know, players are going to get looked at, because there are, in Victoria, there are going to be 60 list spots that need to be filled.
Oh, I definitely. And when you're being a successful team at that too, like off a few wins so far, I think that Hawthorn and Essendon, but other clubs as well, that we know there's going to be movement potentially from all Victorian clubs, if not interstate. So I think everyone will be watching this VFLW season, once the AFLW season finishes, really closely to see who's missed out, maybe who's been delisted that's playing VFLW that's still got the potential there as well. And then obviously the young NAB League girls coming through that get a bit of VFLW time as well.
You mentioned you play St Kilda this week, and of course they beat Gold Coast last week, and they beat Gold Coast. Sarah Perkins had a couple of opportunities for the Suns to win the game, and unfortunately she's become the target for those on social media who like to use social media to be anti-social. Are you aware of the comments, and have you got any thoughts on, you know, what Sarah's copped over the last 48 to 72 hours?
Yeah, I have seen that. And look, I think it's great for her to call it out, to be honest. And I think she, I can't quote her word for word, but made a comment around not everyone's a size 6. And I think that's exactly right. Like, you look at an AFLW list and the body types that we have within a team, they are so different. Like, you have smaller framed girls that are playing a certain role, and then we need the height, we need the body size, like, for matchups and things like that. And I think credit to her, like, in terms of, I think she pushed back around, look at my, like, talk about my performance and skill level. And a lot of people have been backing her and showing footage from out this season and beyond. Look at her on the ground and what she can do. And she's certainly getting to contest. She's certainly kicking it a lot further than I'm sure some of the punters out there would be kicking it in their own competition. So I think it's good for her to point it out, because there'd be people out there that potentially would take those comments to heart. And I suppose, and I'm sure it's not something you want to be hearing or seeing out there as well, but I think it also shows people that, no, any, like, we want people to call it out when we're seeing things that aren't positive and encouraging around that sort of thing.
Yep. Are you braced for that stuff through your media department at the club? Are they, you know, I suppose, educating you in how to handle, you know, for those who are active in social media? And I know some of your teammates are. They Instagram especially is a great vehicle for AFLW players to promote themselves, but it also comes with the perils that come with antisocial people on there and trolls. But do the club help you navigate through that?
Yeah, look, there's education sessions around social media use and that sort of thing early on in the pre-season, and then there's supports there in place through the AFLPA for individuals, and we have player welfare officers that we can catch up with and connect with if that was to become an issue. Thankfully, it's not. I think the AFL manage it really well with all of their the media that they put out there, and I think they manage where there is comments and where there isn't and those sorts of things that can control that. But, there's certainly support in place for when those things do happen, but it does take people to step up and have the confidence to push back. And when they do that, I think it's supporting not just them, but people out there that may be also experiencing those things, whether online or actually in relationships or at school. Comments like that can be made at school, and students be like, oh, no, that's not something I need to be concerned about. We are all different, and we need to celebrate the differences that we have and what we can do with our bodies the way that they are, really.
And do you know what? It's women playing sport, and we know that, you know, girls at, you know, sort of early teens seem to be a massive drop. I read a figure today that I think, you know, there's a 69% participation rate, and this is in one part of the world, but, you know, 70% participation rate at age sort of 11 and 12 that drops off to 45% very, very quickly. And, like, and when then, you know, and we all do come in different shapes and sizes. People who know me know I'm solidly built would be the best way to describe it, Renee. That, yeah, it's going to take all types, and there's a flow-on effect when players like that are copying it. Young girls are reading that and going, well, why would I want to be putting myself out for that? That's probably the disappointing part, that, for Sarah Perkins, that's, some of the stuff she's copped is horrendous, but there's a flow on because there are young girls reading that who have Sarah Perkins as a role model that will go, well, why would I want to subject myself to people being like that towards me?
Yeah, and that is the concern. And I think that, for all the great things in the AFLW, like pushing backs against comments like those, because we want to increase participation in sport, whatever sport that is. Like AFL is one avenue, soccer, netball. There's so many different sports out there, and people feeling comfortable within themselves, because we know physical activity in sport actually produces then benefits for our physical health.
And mental health,
like the flow on social health. Like there's so many great things in staying engaged in sport. So we want to make sure people are comfortable, and that's where, like, I think there's changes to change rooms and environments in footy clubs particularly, but across lots of different sports now, to make sure that we're doing things proactively to try and keep young girls in sports, because there is that drop off.
Yep. Daisy Pearce, her name's sort of come to the fore in the last 24 hours. It's I don't know how on the mark it was that she was offered a chance to play with the Cats and then go into a coaching role with the men's program, but it appears that Daisy will land at Geelong in a role with the AFL men's program, which is fantastic. It's another, part of the glass ceiling that it's been shattered. But I suspect you'd be rapt to see her just around the club, even if it's in the men's program, and whatever she does, AFLW part of the season, whatever that will be. But I'm sure the girls would be rapt to just see her around the club.
Yeah, certainly. Like, that was news to me when it came out in the media overnight. But, look, from all I have heard of Daisy Pearce, obviously through the media work she does herself, but also through the girls that have known her in her VFL days, say that she's a really solid human being, someone that's switched on. She's got a great footy brain, and you hear that through her commentary, obviously, but really just a genuine person that is great to be around and cares for others and leads and guides others really well. So I think if Geelong get her in any capacity at the footy club, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. We only got the one question in this week, was from Winty on Big Footy. We've talked about Liv Barber. I'd be surprised if she played, but we'll get more confirmation later in the week. He asks, who's the poor person who has to hold the tackle bag for Rachel Kearns at training?
When it comes out, it's usually one of the coaches that hold that. Dan loves to get it out, and we've certainly seen a few of the coaches get knocked over and bowled over. Jess Foley, I think, took a fall at one training session, a couple of girls going through. But Rach is certainly, I had a couple of colleagues text me after the game saying, who is that 22? She certainly brought that and executed her tackles really well on the weekend to put some great pressure on, and loved to see that. And, I certainly... as soon as I was out of contact, I was like, I'm glad I'm not getting any tackles from Rach, that's for sure. She goes hard.
My personal favourite was one where she sprinted about 50 metres through the middle of the ground to nail Monique Conti with a beautiful textbook tackle, inspirational stuff. You could see her coming. I watched it on the TV, and you could see her coming out of shot, and all of a sudden, you couldn't see her coming out of shot, but all of a sudden she arrived in shot, and then she was on the other side of the shot, and she was right on Monique Conti's hammer.
Oh, and she was. And then I think she's like almost sat on top of her to like, you are not getting out of here. Like, it was great. So we did watch a few of the replays of her work in our review, and want to see more of that. That's what we're talking about, high pressure, and we're talking about those acts of grit within our group. We want more of that.
What's her plans post-season? So in 10 days' time, she's free to go home because your season will be done. St Kilda and then the Giants on the Friday night. Have you spoken to her at all? Has she made it known what she's planning to do once her AFLW commitments are done?
I haven't spoken to her recently, but early on in the year when we're talking about her plans, her plan was to go back and play in the Gaelic competition. So I think that will be the plan, to get back to her family and and friends and life back home and get back stuck into that season, which I think she'll be fit and ready to go for, not carrying any injuries, which is great. It'll be a different type of fitness. I think she said, like, the amount we train and running capacity and those sorts of things, she certainly found a bit of a difference. So hopefully she goes and has another great season over there. And she made team of the year for them last year. Yeah. So I think let's wait and see what she does back there this year.
And she obviously has to remember that she can't tackle.
Yes, exactly right. And that'll be the – I can't imagine the difference. Now she can't – yeah, you can't go and do what she's been doing out on our ground. So – yeah, I think I'll have to watch video into some of the games and see how she goes.
On a lighter side, is there much sledging in the women's game? If so, who's the best sledger in the side, and what's the funniest sledge you've heard that can be repeated?
When you're out there is when you hear it, and typically as midfield you're always running off with. I think it's more so, I feel like it's in the back line, forward line, where they've got to be, like, they're watching, waiting for the ball to come, those sorts of things, or shots on goal.
Yep.
Beck Goring, who's not around anymore, I would have said definitely used to be. She used to sing to opponents. She used to just throw out there really interesting things. But since she's gone, I haven't heard anyone, none of the new girls that have come in have really come with a name of being a sledger. But I think also not being out there, I haven't been able to hear it this season. So worth a question if we get another guest on, can you, I reckon?
Hard to sledge when you're 2-6 too, isn't it?
Well, I think if it's part of your games, I think there's players out there that win or loss, they're doing that all the game long. So, but I don't think it's naturally a part of some of our girls' natures, unfortunately, but all fortunately. I don't think you're... If you're winning the ball, that says enough, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk to you. I really have liked the last month of Darcy Maloney. It was a pity she got suspended after the Eagles game, but I reckon she talked about how she changed the body shape. I think she was better prepared for this season, but I've really enjoyed the fact that I think she's become a very solid AFLW player, and she might only be now maybe 12 games into her career.
Yeah, she's gone strides in her development this year, I think. The shift, I think we talked about a few weeks ago, in her mindset and her attitude towards things and the way that she processes games and frustrations that arise and those sorts of things. She's certainly putting that into a positive place to make her a better player and playing whatever role is needed as well. So she spent a bit of time playing off half forward as well as through the middle of the ground, and she brings that strong contest when she's in there, but she's also a very skillful player, and we've seen that in the last few games and some really great entries and the work she does moving the ball up and down the ground. So look forward to seeing more of her over these next few years and what she'll continue to do in her growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Off to St Kilda on Saturday afternoon. Off to Moorabbin. It'll actually be the first game since Moorabbin's been done up slightly from last year. Wasn't a great trip there. Very similar time last year, wasn't it? It was late in the season.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. I think going to that game last year, not knowing, and knowing they were a new team, we hadn't played them before, but certainly wasn't the result of the game that we would have liked last time. So we're certainly wanting to put our best footy out there and play the style that we want to be playing, knowing their matchups and their sides a bit different as well. They had a couple of their midfielders obviously not playing this year. That got a lot of the disposals last year. So it'll be a very different style probably from them that we'll be up against.
No, Patrikios has really hurt them, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Yep. Who goes to the G train? Is that Meg first up, or is it Maddie Taylor? Oh, sorry, Maddie McMahon.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I haven't been in the backline meetings to hear those conversations, but Meg often does take when there's a strong body in there and let Maddie do her work off the ball a bit more, but we'll wait and see. I think Jess will have ideas around matchups and things, but we know that you don't want her getting it even on the 50 because she can kick it from wherever, really, when she's on. So,
yep. VFLW girls, they're an early start. They play Southern, Southern Saints, which is St Kilda's alignment partner, at 10 a.m. So I'm guessing that's being played that early to give people in a chance to get around the bay and get to Moorabbin. And the Falcons girls are off to Ballarat Sunday to play the GWV Rebels. They're coming off a loss, the Falcons, to the Western Jets. I think they'd won four straight, the girls, but lost last week, and they need to keep winning if they are to play finals. So good luck to both the VFLW and also the Falcons girls. But to the AFLW girls, Renee, good luck. Thank you for dropping by once again. Are we going to try and snag a player for next Wednesday for what will be our last preview episode?
Yeah, thank you. I think it'd be worth getting someone in for sure. It's always nice to hear the girls and the perspective of someone on the ground. It's always a different feel from being on there to watching from the sideline. So we get someone, I think that would be great.
All right, I'll make some. We'll have some off-air discussions and then I'll make contact with the club. Enjoy your week and good luck Saturday, and look forward to talking to you next Wednesday.
You too, King.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.